Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, I'm privileged to welcome a very, very accomplished marketer from the US, Heather Osgood. Heather, you're currently in Florida, isn't it?
Yes, okay. I'm in Sarasota, Florida.
So our guest is from Florida. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Thank you. Heather is the founder of True Native Media, and she helps podcasters to turn their passion into a sustainable profession. So for me personally, I'm hoping to get some great tips from her today. So Heather, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
Great question. So the first milestone was my career in advertising sales. So at a young age, in my early 20s, I got into ad sales. I started in radio ad sales and moved to newspaper ad sales. And that was the first milestone. And the reason that was a milestone for me is that it gave me so much confidence. Mm-hmm. And the biggest element of confidence that it gave to me was this ability to go out and speak to anyone. Correct. So literally in radio ad sales, they were like, here's the phone book, go walk around, walk into businesses and go talk to them about buying ads. And so I lost all of the fear of speaking to people that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was a huge, just a very foundational piece of my career. If I hadn't gotten the training and the experience in those early years of my career, I don't think I would be where I am today. So that was a big milestone for me. Mm-hmm. The next was my kind of, I've owned several companies, but I owned a trade show production company for about 10 years. Wow. And I owned that with my best friend, which mm-hmm. was a lot of fun, but also really tricky at the end when it was time for us to part ways. So that was a huge learning experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's interesting because even still today, mm-hmm. I know that everything that I do at True Native Media, my current company, is influenced very heavily from experience, both good and bad, that I had at that company when I was creating that. And now really, I would say the third milestone in my career has been forming True Native Media, which as you mentioned, is a podcast advertising agency. And I've had that now for about 5 years. And this space and the ability to create the content we're creating right now mm-hmm. to get connected internationally with podcasters and companies interested in advertising has really just impacted my personal perception of what type of organization I have the ability to create. With my prior company, it was very localized mm-hmm. and I would say regional. We went up and down the coast of California in about a 3-hour range. So it mm-hmm. wasn't all, you know, super yeah. close to home. But with True Native Media, I have been able to really visualize what it is like, visualize and experience what mm-hmm. it's like to create a truly international organization.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I'm hoping I'll be able to do some work with you because The Brand Called You is also a global OTT platform. But Heather, let's talk about True Native Media. Tell me about this venture and what was your motivation to start this?
Yeah, absolutely. So after I sold the company that I had for almost 10 years, I, you know, for the first time in my adult life, didn't have a very full schedule. I did have two small children. So of course that occupied a lot of my time, but it was a very different experience than having a very packed, you know, minute to minute schedule with appointments and things. And so I started listening to podcasts. And the more I listened to podcasts, the more I was like, gosh, there's all of these terrific shows that don't have advertisers in them. Mm-hmm. Why is that? And I knew from experience that most people didn't understand sales the way that I did and didn't have the confidence, time, or ability to go out and solicit advertisers. And I knew that there were like the top 1-2% of podcasts, the really large shows, they didn't have any problem getting advertisers, mm-hmm. but then there was everybody else. And I thought, why not create an organization that helps service that mid-level podcaster and goes out out and finds advertisers for them. Mm-hmm. So I started the organization, really with the idea that I wanted to partner with podcasters to help them actually make money doing what they did best, which was creating content.
Fantastic. And, you know, the fact that you had so much experience selling time on the radio must have been absolutely incredible experience for you to just slide into this new role.
Yes, absolutely it was.
So Heather, tell me, you know, when you go out to market a podcast to an advertiser, what do they look for?
Yeah, so every advertiser is going to look for something a little bit different, but the key is the target demographic. So every organization has a target customer that they are looking to attract. They know who's going to purchase products and services for them. And so they're looking for podcasts who are going to reach that target demographic, right? Mm-hmm. They want to know that if they advertise with a particular show, they're going to see a return on that investment. Mm-hmm. So first, targeting the right audience, which means as podcasters, you need to know who your audience is. Okay. Next, they are definitely going to be looking at reach. If they spend $1,000 with you, how much can they expect to essentially, how much reach can they get in front of? Are they going to hear, 100 people going to hear their ad, or 1,000 people, 100,000 people, right? They want to look at that reach. So that's mm-hmm. really important. But I can't stress enough also how important it is to really think about, for podcasters and content creators, the quality of the content that you are creating. We focus very heavily on host-read endorsement ads, meaning the hosts that we work with are going to get a sample of that product. They're going to try it out. And then in that ad read, they are going to connect with the audience that already knows, likes, and trusts them, and talk to them about this product and how it can edify their life in some way. Okay. So when you think about that, the brand, the advertiser, is looking to partner with podcasts that they think will be good ambassadors for their product, right? So if you think of, you know, really large organizations, they have spent millions of dollars to establish a brand identity. Cool. And they want to partner with podcasters who I really believe are influencers, mm-hmm. who will be good representatives of their product or service, right? A good representation of what they've spent millions of dollars creating. So making sure that a podcast has, you know, quality production, that it is producing consistent quality content, and that brand is going to feel confident in that partnership is really important.
Wonderful. And, you know, if I'm on a podcast and there are thousands and thousands of podcasters all over the world, if I want to reach out to you and say, Heather, will True Native Media agree to handle my podcast, what do you look for before you accept a client?
So we're looking, first we do look at size. So when I started the organization, I worked with shows that had 500 downloads, and I really wanted to help everyone. And I still do want to help everyone. But what I realized quickly is that there are a lot of economics when it comes to running a business, and we have to run a profitable organization. So in order to do that, it's important that the size of the podcast is in line with what we know we can make money on. Mm-hmm. And that is 10,000 downloads per episode in a 30-day period if the show is doing embedded ad reads. Okay. If they're set up to do dynamic ad insertion, we want them to have 20,000 downloads in a month. Mm-hmm. So that's the first criteria, okay. Followed closely by the content of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that there are millions of different voices out there, and I want to honor each of those voices. But if you have decided that you want your podcast to center around, cat gymnastics, mm-hmm. we're going to have a hard time finding advertisers for your show.
That's so a great example, yeah.
Yeah, we really have to. It doesn't mean you shouldn't create it. I'm sure it's an awesome show, but we have to look at who we're actually going to be able to sell ads to. Mm-hmm. So for us, looking at content and knowing, gosh, if we take this show on, can we fill it with advertisers, mm-hmm. is super important. And then I would say there are several other, you know, nuanced criteria, but the last important one is your hosting provider. Mm. So every podcast should have a hosting provider, and we are looking for hosting providers that are IAB compliant, that we know we can rely on that hosting provider. Mm-hmm. And also, we really believe the industry is headed toward dynamic ad insertion. Mm-hmm. So is your hosting provider a company that allows for dynamic ad insertion? So as we grow with you, we would have that opportunity to move into that position.
Very interesting. And for our audience, help me understand, what is a hosting provider?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the best way to think about a hosting provider is, if you were to create a website, for instance, you would have to have a hosting provider, and it's the same with a podcast. So where does your digital file live online? The website hosting provider is going to, you know, house the digital file for your website. And in the same way, a podcast hosting provider houses the audio content that you were producing. So when someone puts, you know, pushes play, they are served up that content.
Okay. And this could also be the large platforms like an Apple Podcast or a Google Podcast, etc., is it?
Actually, it's different. So the Apples, the Google Plays, the Spotifys, those are the players. So mm-hmm. that's the interface that actually is the app that delivers the podcast to mm-hmm. the listener. But behind them is the hosting provider. Right. So if you're familiar with the industry, companies like Libsyn or Blueberry, Megaphone has been in the news a lot lately because they recently got acquired, Art19, Omni, Captivate. So those are some of the different, Podbean is very international. Acast is also
Anchor,
very
international. Anchor, for example, would be another hosting provider.
Anchor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Wonderful. Got it. Now I understand. So, now moving on, you're an expert marketer. And, you know, when I was much younger, I was, doing lots of brands. Conventional wisdom for every brand was repeat purchase, right? Mm-hmm. Because every brand wants people to keep coming back over and over again. In your opinion, how does that apply to the podcast world?
The most important piece of podcast advertising is the connection that you make with your audience. Okay. When you think about audio, the mm-hmm. connection that you create with audio is much greater than other forms of connection. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is that, and you're creating video, lots and lots of people create video as a supplement to audio. Mm-hmm. But when we look at, the purity of podcasts, which is that audio feature, when you're listening to something, your brain is creating this mental picture for you. Mm-hmm. With every statement that is created, you're imagining what that information that's come into your brain, what kind of context that has for you in relationship to your life. So there's a lot of connectedness that happens with audio. Mm-hmm. And what creates that that connection really does have a lot to do with the host and the content that's been created. Okay. So as a consumer, if I look at this host in a way as potentially a mentor, somebody that I look to for entertainment, somebody mm-hmm. that I feel I have a connection with, and then I'm talking about a brand, a product, a service, mm-hmm. that the delivery of that message is so much more powerful than other forms of what I would say kind of, just intrusive advertising. So it creates this relationship between the brand, the host, and then the audience, which is the end consumer. Mm-hmm. And when you've got that connection, that the quality of the consumer is going to be much higher. Mm-hmm. And because the quality of the consumer is much higher, they tend to be repeat purchasers, right? Okay. They're the types of consumers that are going to come to your brand, mm-hmm. going to come to your company and make a purchasing decision. And the way I really think about host read ads and podcasting mm-hmm. is it's the same as if a friend came over to my house and said, "Oh my gosh, Heather, I just found this skincare product that's amazing. You have to try it." Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, "Oh, look at her skin. She looks amazing. I'm going to try that out." Or, I know that she's given me recommendations in the past that have been good. So the power behind, I would say, that conversion that happens with podcast advertising is very different than other forms of advertising, like social media or, you know, just many different forms of digital advertising that we tend to rely on heavily in these days.
Fantastic. And, you know, your response gives me an interesting segue to my next question. For someone who sold advertising for radio, which is what I would call traditional media, and I'm sure you are aware of television advertising and may have worked in it as well. How are advertising managers of large brands handling advertising on social media? Are they setting aside or beginning to set aside larger budgets
for social media?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Which includes podcasts. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Which includes the podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and gosh, you know, that's such an interesting question because yes, absolutely. And television advertising had been the biggest, at least in the US, had been the biggest form of advertising that happened, right? When we look just at dollars spent, most people had, you know, spent money in TV. So TV was the leader in the industry. And I don't know how many years ago it has been. I want to say that it's been probably 4 or 5 years now that digital marketing has surpassed TV advertising. So digital marketing is now the biggest spend. And digital marketing encompasses a lot of things, right? So we've got like Google search, you know, any sort of that paid Google advertising that's happening, all of the social media that's happening, you know, traditional banner ads and things like that. So there are lots of different elements that make up digital advertising, but it has surpassed television advertising. Now, podcast is one of those mediums that sits between offline and online. And the conversation is had often in the podcast space about whether we are an online medium or we are an offline medium. Mm-hmm. And the reason for this is that digital marketing, digital advertising provides very rich, detailed analytics. So if I'm running a Google campaign, if I'm running a Facebook campaign, I can see a ton of information about who has interacted with my ads. Perfect. So I know, you know, am I reaching the right person? Are they converting? Like, you know, I've got all of this very rich data. When we look at offline mediums, which would include obviously, you know, TV, radio, print, any out-of-home advertising, billboards, things like that, all of that is very difficult to track in terms of conversions. We don't know. And you can guess who is consuming your ad, but you don't know for sure. So podcast advertising is in the middle because we don't know for sure who actually listens to podcasts. The data is not there. And it's not there because essentially the industry has opted not to provide that. And a lot of I would say one of the very biggest conversations that's happening in the podcast space today is surrounding privacy issues. So we have some attribution tracking companies that are based in pixel tracking that have come onto the space. And they are providing us with a lot of data, but then there is the question of, is that data, you really just, is it following privacy guidelines? And if it's not following privacy guidelines, how should we react? So it's this very, you know, when you're online, we give permission to, you know, Google and Facebook and Spotify even, right? Like Spotify can provide you with a ton of data, but like the average podcast can't. So it's very interesting when we look at what position what role podcasts play within the advertising space.
Fantastic. So now I'm going to move to the second part of our conversation, which is some questions for you personally.
Sure.
My first question to you, Heather, is for someone who's built so many businesses, worked across so many organizations, and now is a successful entrepreneur, what are some of the core values you believe in?
I believe that you have got to understand what your core motivators are. And what I have realized is that the motivator for me is creation. So I believe very heavily in creation. And for me, creation is what drives my life. Mm-hmm. When I was in between business ownerships, I was very depressed. And what I realized is part of the reason that I was so depressed is because I didn't have that thing that I was doing every day that helped me get out of bed, that made me excited for my day, that allowed me to, you know, get up and get dressed and, you know, show up. And so really this passion around creativity is so, so important. So that drives me in everything I do. And then secondly, trying my best just to be the best version of myself. So I believe that we were all created for our own specific mission in life. And I am meant to be the best version of myself that I can be. And what does that look like on a daily basis? How can I show up at my best? That doesn't mean I'm going to be better than other people or not as good as other people. It just means, what is the best version of Heather and how can I contribute in the greatest way possible to the world? And whether that's my family, whether that's my employees or my podcasters or advertisers, you know, anyone, how do I help show up at my best so that I can contribute in a positive way to them?
Fabulous. And a follow-up question to that is that, you know, as you look back at life, as you look at all the stuff you will achieve in the years ahead, from where you stand today, what does success mean to Heather?
Success means having a very clear idea of what I want to achieve and achieving that. So I am very ambitious. I'm very goal-oriented. And a big part of what it is not settling for where I'm at currently. So I could kick my feet back. You know, I'm in my mid-40s. I could say, my life is just about, you know, halfway over. I don't think I can do much more. I'm just going to, you know, watch TV and gain an extra 20 pounds. Or I could show up again at my best. And for me, it's about overcoming my own internal fears. And really, it's all about fears, I would say. It's overcoming those fears to accomplish something that feels beyond my comfort zone, right? And I think for me, we just doubled the size of our organization. So we went from 3 employees to 6 employees. So yeah, it's still not huge. I'm sure we're going to get, you know, my goal is to get bigger someday, but that was a big leap for me. And I realized recently that the fear of, could I manage enough people? Could we handle payroll? All of those, you know, fears were keeping me small. And by keeping myself small, I wasn't able to show up and have the impact that I wanted to have in the world. So getting back to success, you know, when I lie dying, I want to look back and say that I did the best that I could do and that I was able to conquer fear to show up at my best.
Fabulous. So I have time for 2 more questions or maybe 1 more. My next question is that if you, Heather, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
It gets back to fear, I would say. Not allowing fear to grow and manifest in my life. You know, I think that it's so easy for us, and each person is going to gravitate towards certain fears. You know, it's like, I look at my husband sometimes and I'm like, gosh, he seems fearless. Like he doesn't seem like he gets rattled easily. And he's always seems like he's up for things, but we were talking about it and like, he hates public speaking. Like that's something that's very, like a very big fear for him. I love public speaking. Okay. To me, it's a ton of fun, you know? So every person has that fear that they allow to control them. And if you allow fear to grow, it will just get bigger and bigger and you know, get out of control. So it's important for each of us to understand where our fears lie and how to tame those fears. So if I were a role model, you know, to millions of children, I would want them to know that they can let go of fear and embrace opportunity.
What a powerful message. But on that note, I'm going to say, Heather, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I loved some of the points you made. For me, the fact that, you know, you just mentioned that digital advertising has for the first time overtaken television advertising is so amazing. Thank you for all your wonderful thoughts on overcoming fear. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.